We start with methods for computing, so the computation of eigenvalues and eigenvectors. Well, we know that this is a difficult problem. Definitions of eigenvalues and eigenvectors do not help us so much because the definitions say that we have, first of all, to consider the characteristic polynomial and then the characteristic equation. The coefficients of the characteristic polynomial should be found by computing the determinant of these methods. This step needs O of n cubed operations, and is not computationally stable. Moreover, then we have to choose some iterative method which has to give us all, also complex, roots of P. So, the most effective methods which compute all the eigenvalues of some eigenvalues and the relative eigenvectors are iterative methods which act directly on the matrix A without passing through the coefficients of the characteristic polynomial. In which way A, or better, the entries of A are used? There are two possibilities, two cases. We can say we can distinguish two type of methods, all iterative methods. The methods which transform preliminarily A with unitary transformations to a more compact form. What do I mean with more compact form? Essenberg form, in particular three diagonal form. I remind you that the Essenberg form and denotes a matrix where we have zero entries below the diagonal, the first diagonal under the main diagonal. We have here all zero entries.
a subcase,
a particular case of
Hessenberg form is
three diagonal form,
which of course generally when we
when we have the Hermitian case,
if we want to compute the eigenvalues of a Hermitian matrix. So for these methods we preliminarily transform the matrix in one of these forms, then we apply in an iterative procedure, there are several methods. We consider, I write right here the methods which will be considered. If this form, call it B, if B is three diagonal, a famous technique is the so-called Sturm. It's a German name, Sturm sequence. Techniques for triangular matrices, or as an alternative, a divide and conquer, divide and vincere, if you prefer. Technique. This second approach is known as the most efficient approach for the Hermitian problem in the case that we want to compute all eigenvalues and all eigenvectors. If B is Hessenberg, an iterative method which is called QR method because it is based on the QR decomposition that you know, factorization that you know. This method can be used also in the Hermitian case, so also in the case that also if B is 3 diagonal. The second type of methods, the first, the second type of methods use a sequence, so a sequence of matrices or say better of vectors is constructed. Sequence of vectors is constructed converging in some sense to some eigenvector of A. These vectors are constructed using directly the matrix A in the form in which it has been assigned. The most important, most famous, and also the most ancient method in this group is the famous power iteration. Power iteration method, it is very simple. We will start with this method because it is the simplest. It is used also by the Google PageRank algorithm and also by other applications of the same type. It is used also by Twitter, I have read. So we follow this order in the subjects regarding the computation of algorithms. We will premise first a theoretical result which gives us a light on the conditioning of the problem. Indeed, you may find in the first pages of the chapter various theorems of localization, of perturbation. The most famous and simple of these results is the Bauer 5 theorem, which in a few words says that for some matrices, mainly normal matrices, so we can write for normal matrices, the problem of computing eigenvalues, I mean, the problem is one condition. We will start from here. Then we will see the methods that I have listed in this order. The power method, the Sturm sequence, approach to sequences, the divide and conquer approach, and finally the QR method. As we have already said, the power method is for general matrices. Sturm sequences and divide and conquer are special methods for Hermitian trivial diagonal. QR method can be applied to any matrix, so also this is a general method for general matrices. But it is recommended for Essenberg or trivial diagonal in the special case of Hermitian matrices, case. Well, let us start from the Bauer-Feig theorem,
Why this theoretical result? For the same reason for which we have studied the conditioning of a linear system. All computations are made in finite arithmetic, so all the aspects related to the propagation of rounding errors must be carefully studied. Also in this case, with imaging, we imagine to have a perturbed problem. Our problem is an eigenvalue problem, so we have a matrix A. Mind the definition of eigenvalue vector. Lambda is a complex number. And we ask we are interested in establishing a result regarding the eigenvalues of a perturbed matrix A plus delta A. The matrix delta A simulates the presence of rounding errors both in representations in the position of the entries of A and also in the computation that are to be made during the use of the method that we have chosen. So the matrix, the total matrix A plus delta A, we have for some eigenvector y an eigenvalue c, so that the perturbed matrix by y is equal to c by y. Are we able to establish a relation between between what? C some exact eigenvalue lambda and obviously the perturbation delta A and some other quantity that must be involved in the problem. This theorem, the Bauer 5 theorem, says this, that if A is diagonalizable, that is the diagonal matrix with the eigenvalues of A, D, let us write this way. A may be written as diagonal D and the matrix D whose columns are the eigenvector of A. Diagonalizing. If we choose a matrix norm with the property that such that if B is diagonal,
This method is not applied to B. This the maximum absolute value of the main entries of B in the case of in case that B is the yeah. This property has a name we have not yet found this kind of norm. The norms which enjoy this property are called absolute norms. So we can say all this requiring that the magic norm we are using is an absolute norm. This is not a strong property, since the one norm, the infinite norm, two norm, all satisfy this property. So if these simple assumptions are verified, the theory tells is that there exists an eigenvalue lambda of A, so this is an exact value, such that the perturbed eigenvalue C minus lambda in absolute value is less or equal than lambda minus C or C minus lambda is less or equal than the norm of the perturbation multiplied by the condition number of the matrix T whose columns are the eigenvectors of A. We will prove this inequality, but we can soon remark that this result is a good result for matrices such that for matrices A such that the condition number of T is small. A wide class of matrices for which the condition number with respect to some norm, to some absolute norm, is small, is the class of normal matrices. If A is normal, in particular Hermitian, if the norm which we have chosen is the Euclidean norm, the two norm, since T is unitary, if A is normal, we know, we have seen first semester, the normal matrices are all the matrices that can be diagonalized by means of T unitary. So the two norm of T makes one also the norm of its inverse. So the condition number of T in this case with respect to the Euclidean norm is 1. We are in the best case. This case, this number is 1, and the perturbation, the absolute error, if you want to see this result from the point of view of errors, the absolute error of C with respect to lambda is proportional to the norm, is bound, we can say better, is bound by the two norm of perturbation. So for small perturbations, we have small absolute errors in the eigenvalue problem. How can we prove this bound? It is not very complicated. We have only to use all the assumptions. And the properties of matrices which are involved, because we write, we start from the eigenvalue problem for the perturbed matrix. We multiply A by Y plus this matrix by Y. The number C by the eigenvector, we bring to the right hand side the term A by Y, so minus A by Y plus. This can be written, this vector can be written as minus A minus C multiplied by the matrix and multiplied by Y. Now, we want to invert this matrix. Is this matrix invertible? If this matrix is not vertical. This is the same thing to say that its determinant A minus C by I equal to 0, then C is eigenvalue not only of the perturbed matrix but also of the exact matrix. Here we have written the determinant of A minus one number, C, by the identity matrix, equal to 0. This is the formula for the characteristic polynomial. If the characteristic polynomial annihilates in C, this means that C is an eigenvalue. So the thesis, this inequality, is automatically satisfied because C is itself an eigenvalue. So in that case we could pick lambda equal to C because C would be an eigenvalue of the exact matrix. So in that case we would have here 0, which is less than any non-negative quantity. C is an eigenvalue, and the thesis is of use. Otherwise, this matrix is invertible. We multiply by its inverse on the left. So we have the inverse. This here by this matrix, this vector, and on the other side only minus y is left. We have this equation. Let us apply the norm, the norms, matrix and vector norms, compatible norms, under the hypothesis, the assumption that the matrix norm is absolute. You can think to the Euclidean norm. So we have we draw off the minus sign. This is a vector norm. We use the compatibility with matrix norm and obtain immediately that the norm of the inverse matrix norm, the norm of delta A matrix norm, the norm of X and Y. This quantity is larger than this, so we have greater or equal than the vector norm of Y. If we divide both sides by Y, on the right hand side, one is left, and we could write simply norm of the inverse of the matrix, the norm of the A. This product is greater than one. Now we have to use the diagonalizability of A, and we write substitute for A D, the inverse of T, and in order to bring outside as factors T and the inverse of T, we write the identity matrix as usual. We have used these three many ways. If I is T by the inverse of T. All these must be inverted. The norm, again, the norm, greater or equal to 1. Well, the norm, the inverse of all this can be written as, pay attention to this, the inverse is inverted again and wrote to the left, so we have again T by D minus C by E inverse by the inverse of T. The norm of this matrix again. The norm of a product of matrices, the sum multiplicative property of the matrix norms, says that we can substitute this, enlarging it with the norm of T, the norm of the inverse of T, and the norm of this matrix
inverted. Again, the normal delta r, and so on. Well, this is the condition number of t.
But we have found
the condition number of the matrix which transforms A to its diagonal canonical form. This is a diagonal matrix. D is diagonal, xi by identity is diagonal, its inverse is also diagonal, and the entries of the inverse have the form the diagonal, the generic diagonal entry of D, which is an eigenvalue of A, so we call it lambda sub I, minus C by 1. So this matrix is diagonal, which with entries of this type. The last assumption, we have not yet used it, the fact that the norm is an absolute norm. So the norm of this diagonal matrix must value the maximum over the absolute values of these quantities, over I. Is it clear? This is a diagonal matrix, it's an entry of this form. This is an absolute form, norm. So, when we apply it to a diagonal matrix, the result must be the maximum absolute value of over all the main axis. The maximum of ratios of this form is also equal to 1 over the minimum over I of these differences in absolute value. The conclusion. This minimum is taken by some lambda sub I. So we have some lambda tilde which give us this minimum. We can write that the norm of this matrix is 1 over the difference of this type. Therefore, the conclusion is that I write for clarity the condition number of t multiplied 1 over lambda tilde minus c absolute value by the norm of delta A greater or equal than 1. You can bring this denominator to the right side and find what we wanted to prove, the condition number by the norm greater than lambda tilde minus c. So we have found that there must exist an eigenvalue lambda tilde must exist which is sufficiently near to c. So we have already observed that in that case when the condition number
of t is 1, that we have
normal matrices,
the unknown, this is the case. We must also say that even if we are in this lucky case,
small eigenvalues will be less accurate in floating point.
Why? Also, if we have that this number is 1, and we consider that A has entries of order 1 of magnitude, I mean, so we can suppose that the perturbation matrix delta A is made of number having the order of magnitude of the machine epsilon that we call U. In this case, we have that the relative error in absolute value of xi or lambda t is the same thing, say xi, is here we put 1, here we put the machine epsilon, say near 10 to the minus 15. If C is small, say ten to the minus 10, we have that here I have put we divide both the size of this inequality by the absolute value of C. You have ten to minus 15 plus 10 to the minus 5, which is a large relative error. This is an aspect that is worthwhile to be considered. Even in the best possible case, small eigenvalues are more difficult to be computed with respect to the large due to the form of this inequality. Well, let us start with the first method in the order that we have said before. That is the power iteration.
you find, you may find the power method in the last section of the chapter, section number 10. Metodo delle potenze.
I give you the definition, which is very, very, very simple, before the break. Power is a for now, we make no assumption on A. A square, generic, for now, in order to assure convergence, we are obliged to, as we will see, to make some assumption on A. But if you construct a random matrix, A, and you choose a random vector in the complex field, in the complex vector space C to the N, and define the following sequence. The sequence whose general term is y sub k. The first k is equal to the random vector p sub 0. The second is given by a multiplied by the previous vector, and so on. Y sub 2 is A multiplying by Y sub 1. For a generic value of the index K, you have that the vector corresponding to K is obtained by multiplying the matrix by the previous vector. Well, if you make a simple experimentation on the behavior of this sequence, in general, you have no convergence in the strict sense of the term. But it is easy to detect that in most cases, not always, but in most cases, the direction of y sub k converges to the direction of an eigenvector relative to a dominant eigenvalue of. So we cannot say that the sequence defined in this way is a convergent sequence. But very often, almost always, the directions of these vectors converge to a special direction, that is the direction of an eigenvector of A, which eigenvector? An eigenvector is relative to an eigenvalue of A, a special eigenvalue, I have called it dominant, in the sense that this eigenvalue is the eigenvalue lambda sub 1, which has absolute value larger than the absolute values of all other eigenvalues of A. Dominant means this. This is a phenomenon very, very simple to detect. And the idea, so it is suggested by this fact, is that if we have this kind of convergence, if yk converges in direction, we can normalize the generic vector of the sequence, and we could say that this normalized sequence converges to an eigenvector of A, an eigenvector relative to this eigenvalue. If we know, say, that this is Z, so we have that. If we know Z, we could know also lambda. So here is the idea which relies under the behavior of this simple procedure. Remark also that the cost, the complexity of this method can be immediately evaluated by considering the number of iterations that I will perform multiplied by the cost of a single iteration. A single iteration costs how much? The complexity of the product matrix by vector, which is in general quadratic. The method is very simple, and the complexity is simple to evaluate. It is the number of iterations. I hope that this number will be small. This is not always true. By approximately n to the square. If A is sparse, that is, if A has many entries equal to zero, this cost might be much less. It could be a linear cost. So an evident, simple advantage that we could exploit is the sparsity, because in this case we would have simply the number of iterations multiplied by n, if n is the complexity of the product. You can say if A is three diagonal, this is about 3 by n. Okay, we break for a few minutes and go on with the details of this method.